Go.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and wanna be in it, keep on listening, cause we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha, stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha, ha. Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Welcome to episode 363 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on the 30th of January 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone app. Your hosts for today are Brad, Jacob, Steve and myself, Daryl, and we have three guests today, Sonia Cuff, Stephanie Bateman and Cam Smith. G'day, Brad.
G'day, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Good. Yourself?
Good, mate. Excellent. How's your week been?
Yeah, a busy week, but it's good because now I'm on 2 weeks holiday from last night. So, yes, it was busy to get things tidied up, and we had a seminar at work yesterday, so we were sort of flat out doing that. But now I'm free as a bird for the next couple of weeks.
Did you know that me and Jake were trying to get hold of you?
Yeah, I know, but I didn't have any opportunity to catch up with you yesterday because I was in the seminar, then doing reception, and my boss was hovering around, so I dare not reach for my mobile phone and type text messages.
That's right. So, all good.
Yep, done.
Just wanted to check to see if you knew that we were getting hold of you.
Yeah, you were. Yep, I didn't know. Yep.
So, Jacob, how's your week been, mate? You got a new TV in the lounge room?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, what is it?
That's a big 49-inch Samsung TV.
Looks good, mate. How's your week been?
All right.
Any exciting happened beside the new TV?
Kicking your butt on GTA.
Okay, let's not go into that.
That's just a side joke, Brad.
Yeah, okay, whatever. What else has been happening, mate, besides playing Xbox? Not much?
I hope my mom gets better.
Oh, yeah, cool. We should get her on the podcast one day.
She doesn't know enough to do a podcast right now.
All she needs to do is just sit next to you and talk to the microphone.
She'd be Jacob, clean your room.
Yeah. Jacob, anything else happen, mate?
Nothing really.
Okay, cool. Steve, how's your week been, mate?
Pretty good. I wanted to ask you a question, Brad.
Sure.
You have the fourth generation Apple TV, right?
I do indeed, yes.
So you updated to the new update, right?
Yeah, I did, mate, yeah.
Have you tried the Bluetooth keyboard with it?
No, I haven't yet. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've been trying to connect, you know, I have it's a little bit older Apple Bluetooth keyboard, and I can't get it to connect, so I just figured I'd ask you. But
No, I haven't tried. I can Bluetooth to my new iPad that I got, the older keyboard. That works fine, but I haven't tried on my Apple TV yet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. Yeah,
I'll try it during the week and I'll let you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's
interesting. So does it work for you?
Yeah, I've been trying different things, you know, looking on the internet. Maybe I missed something. Or
have you called Apple support?
Not yet. I don't know. Maybe, of course, now they got a new Magic Apple keyboard out. So
I love that. I love that keyboard.
I don't know. Maybe
I've got one. Works fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you got to have the new one. I'm not sure. But
no, it should just work. Yeah. Doesn't really matter what keyboard. It should just work.
Yeah, I think it should too. Yeah. But I don't know. Still working it out, maybe.
All right. Cool, mate. And how's your week been?
It's been good.
How's the baby? You know,
oh, he's doing good, too. He's been sleeping longer, so that's good.
That's good, yeah.
Yeah, slept five hours, and then he's asleep again.
Oh, nice. Mouse likes to sleep.
Oh, what's that?
I said he loves sleeping.
Because
he's a baby.
Yeah, but I don't know. Before he was like, he wouldn't sleep very much during, you know, from 12 to 6. That's when he seems to be awake the most.
Okay.
So we're trying to get him transitioned tonight so I don't have to stay up all night and or anything like that. But.
Okay. All right. Good luck with that, Steve.
Yep.
Let's go to Stonya. Welcome to the show, Stonya, to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No problem. How's your week been?
My week's been great because the kids have just gone back to school after being home on holidays for two months.
Oh, nice. Good stuff.
It gives me a day back at my desk, so it's all good.
Good stuff. We'll have a chat to you very shortly about what you do.
Yeah, sure.
And also we have Stephanie on. Welcome, Stephanie, to the podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
And how's your week been?
Yeah, not bad. A couple of days off in the middle of the week, but busy time of year.
Oh, yeah, cool. Good stuff. And anything exciting happened during the week or?
I bought a new car.
Oh, really?
I did. Yeah.
Is it one of them electrical cars?
Unfortunately not. No, it's a Honda HR-V.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What color is it?
Blue.
Oh, cool. Very nice. Who else we got here? I've got Cam on. Welcome, Cam.
Hey, Brett. How you going?
Good, mate. And how's your week been?
Absolutely flat out, mate. Yeah, really busy. I've pretty much worked straight through Christmas and still going. So,
oh, well.
But that's a good thing.
Good on you.
Thing. Yeah.
Good on you. All right, let's go to the news then, Daryl, and we'll come back and have a chat with them three guests very soon.
I think Steve.
Okay,
yeah, Steve's reading the news. I think, yeah.
Okay.
Go, Steve.
Go, Steve.
Oh, I'm going.
Did you all jump in at once? Did you?
Oh, I thought I was doing the news. Yep. Well,
I thought Derek
okay,
was doing the news.
Being sure.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, first news story is from Engadget. Facebook's live video is rolling out to all iPhone users. Facebook's begin testing its Periscope-like live video feature. Back in December, only celebs and verified pages could get in on the live streaming action, although that's what's about to change. The social network is rolling out the feature to iPhone users in the U.S. starting today with a wider release to the rest of the world in the weeks to come. To get started, all you have to do is select Update Status and tap on the live video icon. You will then be able to select your audience and enter a short description before your broadcast begins. This comes from Australia's leading TV blog, TV Tonight. Nine Now ready for live streaming. Nine digital platform Nine Now, which will replace Nine Jumpin, has been quietly released ahead of a formal network announcement. The digital service will offer live streaming of all nine channels plus catch-up video on phone, tablet, computer, or TV, including Apple's iPhones, iPads, iOS 8 Plus, and Android phones and tablets. And last but not least, this is on from The Verge, inside the FCC's audacious plan to blow up the cable box. FCC Chairman Tom Wheeler dropped a bomb on the cable television industry yesterday with his proposal to allow any manufacturers to create cable boxes that can access pay TV service. The FCC is calling the plan Unlock the Box because, one, competitive head-to-head navigation is terrible, name, and two, it's learned from the net neutrality fight that no telecom company can apparently withstand the power of social media. And those are going to be our three news stories for this week.
Good stuff,
on the
Steve.
Tech Webcast.
Thanks, mate. Do you want to mention the Apple with them power things that are broken with Apple?
Are you talking about mine, Apple TV or something?
No, you know them power adapters. Do you want to mention them real quick about Apple? I forgot to put the news of that in the show notes, but
I don't even see that in here.
I can jump in if you like.
Yeah, go ahead. So go ahead.
What's happened this week is there's been two big recalls on the market. Microsoft announced a recall of the power cords for Surface Pro Surface Pro 2, Surface Pro 3, and they have a redemption process on their website where Microsoft will post you out a replacement power cable free of charge and you don't need to send the old one back. Apple have also announced a recall particularly affecting Australia and New Zealand for the actual power adapter end that plugs into your power socket. Mm-hmm. So if you have a look and see if it's got numbers on it instead of letters and a country code, you can contact Apple or swap it out at your Apple store to get a replacement on the power adapter.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, and that's across Macs and all iOS devices. So, you know, we've all got a million of those lying around with the various Apple devices we've accumulated over the years.
Mm, definitely. I'll have to check mine. Daryl, what's your view on that?
I'll have to check my. I've got a ton of those adapters from, you know, various iPhones and my iPad and stuff. So I'll have to check. I think it goes right back to 2003. So obviously it's been a something that's affected all their adapters right up until very recently. So everybody check your adapters because apparently if it is faulty, you might get an electric shock out of it. So.
I don't even use mine anyway.
Certainly check them, and if any doubt, contact Apple because you know it might only be a minor number of people that get affected, but you don't want to get an electric shock because that could have fatal consequences. So,
yeah, exactly.
The other news stories. It's great that Facebook Live is rolling out, although it's still not international yet. And I know Brad and I were grinding our teeth when we were reading the article, but it's probably a load issue. Facebook are rolling it out slowly to make sure they've got the hardware capacity to be able to maintain it properly. And then I guess they're saying in another few weeks it'll be rolled out globally. And I think that'll be really interesting because it'll sort of be competing with, you know, your Periscopes and your Meerkats and all that. And we'll see how that goes. FCC one, though I'm not fully aware. I understand that apparently, you know, cable boxes have been made by the actual cable companies and sort of they've had a bit of a monopoly on controlling all that. So I think it's more breaking it up for competition so you can buy a cable box from any manufacturer and you might end up with actually better cable boxes and better menus and better ways of accessing cable TV over there. So that's good. And Channel 9's new service. It's just this continuation of things moving to the net and streaming services and competition in Australia now for eyeballs. You know, it's no longer, as we've said on other podcasts, it's no longer people just sitting at home switching the television on at 7 o'clock and watching the news and then watching something else. People want their content when they want it, not when the networks decide they can have it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still recording shows on Foxtel. I'm still recording my shows, but and also watching what I want as well.
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, people now have, how often, you know, in the past it was always, oh, this show was on at 8 p.m. last night and you might get to work and you might chat with, you know, people about, oh, did you see television last night? Did you watch whatever? These days now, you know, it's harder because people are saying, oh, no, I didn't do that. I recorded it. I'll watch it next week. Or, no, I'm streaming stuff from Netflix. I didn't bother watching TV at all last night or whatever. Yeah. So it's just the thing that people are now getting. And the younger generation now, they're ones coming up, they'll laugh when they hear about the fact that, you know, once upon a time their parents and grandparents used to have to sit and watch television at a certain time of the night or they missed the program completely.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, spot on there, Daryl. You're right on the ball there, mate. Good answer. Anything else, mate?
No, that's all from me, yeah. Yep.
All right, check out the 9 Now app too, Daryl.
Yeah, I will. I'll download it on my iPhone and have
Looks
a play
fantastic,
with it.
Fantastic, mate. Yeah. Great app.
I'll have a play. Although one thing that's interesting, and again, it comes back to these fighting with rights, is there was an article at the cricket, for example, you know, 9's been covering the cricket series and the one dayers. They can't put that yet on their 9 app because of the rights deal with Cricket Australia, and Cricket Australia is probably going to say to them, oh, well, if you're going to do that, we want a bit more money if you want to stream it out on the internet. So that's an interesting thing. So even within it, there are still fights going on between the rights holders and the commercial network. So to see, you know, so whether 9 will say, or stump up extra money and say, yes, we really want people to be able to watch the cricket live, you know, or whether on their app, or whether they just say no, go to Cricket Australia and watch the cricket there.
Okay.
Cool.
All right, good stuff, mate. Let's go to Stephanie. Stephanie, what's your view on them stories?
I'll be interested to see. I haven't checked out the Nine Live app yet. I always thought Jump In was a little bit buggy. I don't use it all that much because I'm probably in that category of people that mostly stream via Netflix, etc. I'll be interested to check that out. There's a few new series coming to Nine this year that I'm interested in watching, and I'd rather not do it on their time schedule.
Cool.
And I do. I also have quite a lot of those Apple chargers lying around my place, and I'm going to have to go through all of them and figure out if I've got any that need a swap.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Is that all you want to say?
Yeah.
All right. Cool. Let's go to Cam. What's your view on them stories, mate?
Yeah, the Apple one's an interesting one. Actually, I was a little bit disappointed because when I first heard it, I thought that they were recalling the entire power supply. And, you know, I've got all these half-broken power supplies sitting around the place, and I thought, oh, cool, I'll get a whole new set, brand fresh new set of power supplies. That'd be awesome. I was about to rush down the Apple store. And then when I read the details, just that little socket on the end, so I was a little disappointed. I think the actual I've heard that the actual genuine possibility of electric shocks actually pretty low. I think it's one, you know, it's happened in a couple of rare cases, and so they've sort of been forced to make the recall, but I don't think it's something that's that much of a widespread risk. But interesting, it's the first big recall that we've heard from Apple, so it'll be interesting to see how well they pull it off. Facebook Live is a good one. We're at Car Advice, we're fairly heavy users of Periscope.
Okay.
We've been doing some live streams both from our garage and also from some of the automotive launches and car shows that we go to. So that's been a great one for us to drive some engagement with our audiences when we're out in the field. So it'll be interesting to see how the Facebook product stacks up against that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Anything else, mate, you want to mention?
No, I'm happy to move on.
All right, cool. Let's go to Jacob. What about you, Jacob?
Well, what the FCC with the box cable boxes, I agree. They should chop them off because we have to pay like $14.99 per box.
Really?
Yes, it's the DVRs.
Only DVRs.
Yeah, like a monthly charge?
Yeah. And then we got to pay for the modem itself.
Wow.
That's another $8.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the Facebook live streaming, I would say...
Because you've tried it, right, Jacob?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about going live during the show.
Oh, you should.
Want me to?
It's up to you. It's up to you. I don't know if anyone's going to watch it or not, but...
It'd be good. It'd be a good test. But yes, someone has to have good. I mean, I couldn't possibly do that because I don't have the internet to be able to be doing what I'm doing. And then,
yeah, true.
Internet speed, and then suddenly decide to go live. It would be great to stream live. But yeah, I don't have the internet capacity until the NBN rolls out.
Yeah, definitely. Jake, what else you want to say, mate?
That's about it, bro.
All right, Steve. What about you, mate?
Yeah, the live Facebook's live videos looks good. Of course, they're competing with Meerkat and the other video streaming services. I don't know. I kind of wish. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but they kind of take a look at what everybody else is doing and then kind of do it themselves. But kind of wish they would come out with some of their own, innovative ideas. Maybe. They did buy Oculus Rift, but. That's a little bit different. And with the cable boxes, I've got Time Warner Cable, and for a long time I've had problems. The interface was really slow and laggy, so they sent us a new one. We activated it. It's better, but now when you go to the menu, it still shrinks down to 4:3 ratio. And, other problems. So it would be nice to have some competitors come in there where, you could either get a box that works for you or the interface you like or whatever. The only problem I see with doing this perhaps is support issue because, when you say, well, my cable's not working, they're going to say, well, what cable box do you have? And if you're not using theirs... Then they'll often say, well, it's the cable box problem. It's not our service, and vice versa. So I could see that being an issue. And
Yeah, that happens in Australia, Steve, with, you know, with Telstra and a few of them. Yeah, if you don't buy a modem sometimes off Telstra or don't buy, then you've got issues that the first thing that they do is say, oh, now where did you get that modem from?
Yeah.
Oh, we don't really – oh, we think it's your modem, mate, you know. Yeah, exactly. Get that looked at. Yeah, so, yes, that could be an issue too. You're right.
Yeah. All right, Steve, anything else, mate, you want to mention?
Let me check real quick. I think I think that was it.
All right, cool. Thanks, Matt. Let's go to Sonia. What about you, Sonia? Have you got any views?
The power cable recalls have just been interesting in terms of how they've been reported, because every headline that I saw for the Microsoft recall was Microsoft recalls 285,000 power cables. And yet when the Apple announcement came out, there's been not a single number. It's like, oh, it's just everyone since 2003. So it's really interesting to see in the media how it's been reported that there's, let's not add up that number and tell people how really bad it is. The Facebook Live video is an interesting one. I'm a big fan of Gary Vee, and he's very passionate about Snapchat at the moment. And, you know, the younger generation, she says with her old lady hat on, very much is moving or has moved to platforms like WhatsApp and Snapchat and now Slack. So, you know, Facebook do look like they're playing catch up. And while live video is great and is the way that people are more communicating and getting their brand out, if Facebook isn't the platform where your audience is, then adding live video to that platform isn't going to help you. So it's a great new feature for sure, but I think that in terms of marketing and online presence, you're still going to have to be very careful about where is your market, because if your target market is on Snapchat, playing on Facebook isn't going to win you any customers. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, so you really have to know your marketing and know where your people are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Any other things you want to say, Sonia?
No, that's me.
That's it. All right. Let's go to the first guest, Daryl.
Yes, and we'd like to welcome Sonia Cuff to the podcast. Welcome, Sonia. And
G'day.
Let everybody know what you do, what your job is.
What my job is? I wear so many hats, I lose track myself sometimes. I'm a systems administrator by trade. So like, I grew up in IT in big enterprise environments doing traditional sysadmin type stuff. I've been playing in the small business space for the last 10 years, and I actually run an IT business in Brisbane, and we look after technology for small businesses. So we do all of their infrastructure stuff. We do cloud computing if it's a fit. And that's kind of the day-to-day job that pays the bills. But in addition to that, I do quite a bit of stuff online. So I do some blogging and some paid technical writing and a bit of speaking around the traps too. If it's about IT, especially sort of the human side, I like to relate IT concepts back to how it impacts the business, how it makes your life better, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's kind of my thing.
Interesting. Okay, let's go to Jacob. Any questions, Jacob, for Sonia?
Oh, okay. You're talking about IT? Okay, so I have a friend that I was asking which Linux distro to use on my computer, and it doesn't work for the Windows virtual machine.
That's a hard question.
It is a hard question.
It is a hard question, and that's not predominantly my space. I mean, the problem with IT is it's such a huge big term. I'm not a web developer. I can't code my way out of a paper bag unless it's PowerShell enabled. But, you know, I very much live and play in the Microsoft space because that's what I grew up on and that pays my bills. So, yeah, Linux and open source is a very different beast, unfortunately.
All right. Good stuff, Jacob. Let's go to Stephanie. Any questions, Stephanie?
I haven't got any Linux issues to share with you at the moment.
Okay. Thank goodness.
just Mac power supply problems, apparently. how do you find the sort of speaking aspect of your job? Is it something that you do a lot more of as you've sort of grown your business?
It's something that I've definitely done a lot more of over the past 2 years, I think, just with some of the contacts that I've made. And I'm starting to talk more to other IT professionals rather than end users. And I love it. I really enjoy crafting a message and getting up there and just meeting people and engaging with them. So, yeah, it's a really fun part of being in the community. Yeah, I love it.
That's fun.
All right, good question, Stefan. Let's go to Cam. Any questions for Sonia?
Sure, Sonia. So obviously the move to cloud's been a huge one over the last few years. Has that changed the way your business operates, the kinds of customers you're attracting, or the way you have to work?
It certainly changed the skill set that we need to have. I believe that if you have come from a traditional IT background, you can't afford to ignore cloud as something that is there and is an option. Even if, and I know there's a lot of traditional IT people who still have concerns, but you know, you need to know about it even if you want to argue against it. We really do work closely with customers to figure out if it's a fit for them or not. And I like to call myself a cloud realist. So I don't like rolling out cloud solutions for everybody just because they're the new thing. There is a time and a place for them, especially here in Australia where our internet infrastructure is so hopeless. So you've really got to pick and choose where it's a good fit and where it's not. So certainly it's a new skill set that we've added to our toolkit so that we can educate our customers about whether we think it's a fit for them or not. And you know, some IT companies have really embraced it and are all cloud, all day, every cloud. Cloud's the only way forward. And then you know, you have other people that go, don't touch cloud. Cloud with a barge pole, you need to retain control of everything. You still should be doing it on premise. And, you know, we like to fall somewhere in the middle and just find out where it's a fit. But I don't think in this day and age that it's something that someone with traditional IT skills can afford to ignore, even if it's just to be educated about it so they know what they're up against.
Yep, completely agree. Nice one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Steve. Any questions, Steve?
Actually, my mind was a blank, but I to, since Jacob said something on Linux, now here in America, I know there's growing interest of utilizing Mac in the workplace. It's typically in business environment, it's always going to be Windows. But you see, I'm kind of interested to see maybe even Australia, is there a growing use in mobile and Mac computers in business enterprise, or is it stagnant or...
Yeah, that's a really good question. We certainly have seen an increase in the use of Mac devices in small business, and we actually have some clients who are predominantly Mac shops instead of being predominantly Windows shops, which is new for us. You know, we wouldn't have seen that 5 or 10 years ago. And I think that's been helped by the fact that there is a lot more application compatibility and support for Macs these days. So, you know, Microsoft have updated things like Office for Mac, and, you know, that still needs updating to be parallel to Windows in terms of what Office can do on a Mac, but it's better than it was. And even things like the remote monitoring and management tools that we use across our customer base, you know, Mac support is one of those things now that infrastructure tool providers have to have Mac support. It is becoming more of a thing. And the challenge is, how do you control and support that? What do you have in place if you're having to support a mixed environment where you have Mac devices and Windows devices? So, you know, that's a new challenge, but it's certainly more possible these days with the tools that are coming out that offer support across both platforms.
So how much would you say you see it in a mixed environment? Would it be like, you know, 15% versus, you know, the rest Windows? Or I know it's kind of a hard question to...
It is. Look, in small business, I think it's probably still about maybe 20-25% of the market that are running mixed, but it depends on where you draw the line. So even businesses that I would class as 100% Windows and Microsoft based, they still have staff that have personal iPhones. So you still get calls where they want to access their emails from their iPhones. So I think that kind of depends on where you draw the line between the business has made a decision to purchase a Mac device and use it as part of their infrastructure versus the business has allowed, you know, this BYOD where the employees want access to their work stuff on their iPads or their iPhones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, my office has a sort of a pseudo mixed environment. I mean, we have, Exchange server, and we have Windows and Windows notebooks and desktops. But, you know, my boss has a Mac notebook, and we also run, you know, iPads, and then some of the staff, like myself and a few others, have iPhones. So, yeah, whether you're sort of, in a way, whether you like it or not, it tends to be that it's sort of becoming more mixed, because people are bringing their own devices and then expecting to be able to connect, you know, to services like email and cloud services, even, you know, Dropbox and stuff like that.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. So, Sonia, where can they get hold of you if they want to ask any more questions about what you do?
Sure. Well, the easiest place to find me is at www.soniacuff.com. That has links to my Twitter account and to my blog and how to get hold of me.
Okay. Well, and what sort of things do you post on your blog?
Oh, look, my blog is a little bit random. I think my latest post was about an issue that I identified in AVG antivirus.
Okay.
But it's nicely split up. So I tend to blog about technology problems that I find, and I blog fixes. I blog about events that I go to. I did a great blog post about what it's like being a software partner and what the partner community is like. And, yeah, sometimes I just blog about sort of life in general and what it's like being a woman in IT and running a business from home and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Nice one. Okay, good stuff. Good to have you on, Sonia.
Cheers.
Welcome. Appreciate your time. Let's go to Cam Siff. Welcome, Cam.
G'day. How you going?
Good, mate. What do you do? Tell us about what you do.
So I'm the CTO at caradvice.com.au.
Okay.
And we're a completely independent and wholly Australian-owned automotive news and reviews website. So
good stuff.
We're the leading online publisher of car editorial in Australia. And we're a genuine content creator. So everything you see on our site is produced by our own journalists, and that includes the written content, the photography, and the video. So we're quite proud of that, given that, you know, in this day and age, a lot of the traditional editorial houses are cutting their staff and outsourcing their content creation to third parties, whereas in contrast to that, we're actually growing our editorial team. We're also quite proud to say that we're an independent business, so we don't have any ties to the more old-school media companies. So what that means is when you come to our site, you're getting a very unique and locally made perspective on Australian new cars, and you can't get that anywhere else.
Good stuff. Is Car Advice, is that around Australia or just in Melbourne, or how does that cover?
So we're based in Melbourne and Sydney. Obviously, being online, we're available anywhere. But yep. Our content team is spread across, and our tech team, and our sales team for that matter, are spread across Melbourne and Sydney.
Oh, nice one. Okay, good stuff. Daryl, any questions?
Yeah, I mean, it's great that we can always do with more content creators, and so what would you say now with, you know, with social media and so many places now that people access, what's the biggest challenge that you face getting your content out to people?
Yeah, so distribution is a huge one, and brand awareness is a big one as well. So we compete with some fairly well known brands, and building brand awareness in the community and driving users to the site is obviously one of the challenges that all publishers face. So social media is an important channel for us, and we use it quite heavily. Facebook is, we were talking about Facebook before. Facebook is a very important channel for us. We see different behaviours from people coming through different channels. So Facebook's a good example. We do get quite a few. We do get quite a lot of traffic coming from our syndication of content to Facebook, but in typical Facebook fashion, those users don't tend to hang around for a long time. Facebook tends to wall their users in, and they'll creep outside to have a look at the outside world, but will retreat back to Facebook quite quickly. So we see that pattern a lot. Whereas traffic that we derive from our affiliates, such as some of the leading car forums, the BMW Oz Forum, the Audi Oz Forum, we syndicate some news out to those guys, and the traffic that we see coming from those sites tends to be a lot what we would call better quality traffic. So people who will hang around on the site longer, read more content, and engage a lot better. But yeah, all of those channels are important to us. YouTube as well, and we're also starting to now branch out into some more traditional advertising. We ran an outdoor billboard campaign this year, and also a series of TV commercials, which you might have seen.
Cool. And do you think that there'll be any effect when the car industry in Australia, like Ford, Holden, and that finally shut down manufacturing? Is that going to have any sort of effect on you guys, or is it just going to mean, you know, different models of cars to promote?
Yeah, look, I don't think so. Remember, they're still those companies are still very much alive in Australia, marketing, putting cars to market. Mm. Those cars aren't necessarily manufactured here anymore, but they're still marketed here, and they're still marketed here under those brands. And the consumers who are loyal to those brands will still purchase those cars. And we still have a huge audience of people that want to read reviews of the latest models coming from those manufacturers, just as much as we have other members of our audience who are interested in the European brands and also some of the rising brands in other parts of the world, Korea and India and so forth. So obviously it's a change to the manufacturing landscape, but I don't think it's a change to the automotive marketing landscape or the publishing landscape.
Cool.
All right, good stuff, mate. Let's go to Jacob. Any questions, Jacob? Real quick, mate, because we need to keep moving.
Nothing really, Brad.
Okay. Do you own a car, mate?
No, but there is a car I like on Forza 6, and it what contains to Audi.
Maybe Cam get you one.
Get a good deal.
We just review them, Brad.
Yeah. Maybe you can review it, Jacob.
It'll be like
$1 million US. All right. Let's go to Steve. Any questions, Steve?
It's the e-tron.
What's that, Jacob?
Yeah.
It's the Audi e-tron.
Okay. Do you sell them, Cam?
Well, we don't, but if it's released in Australia, we'll have a review of that car.
There you go, Jacob.
There you go.
There you go, mate. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, if you have like, do you work with car manufacturers? Like if you want to see like you want to do an article on a certain vehicle, are you able to go up to them and say, hey, we want to check out this new vehicle that's coming out or just came out? Do they allow you to do this? Or
absolutely. Oh, that's the very much the bread and butter of our content creation. Car manufacturers are our customers, so we sell display advertising to them, albeit via their advertising agencies, but they're very much our customer base. Our business model is display ad funded, so we are going to those guys and offering them advertising space on our site. And we're also the cars that we review come from the manufacturers. So we're in very close contact with those guys. Our strap line at the moment is every new car, every last detail. So what that means is every new car that's released in Australia will carry a review of it in that model year. So yeah, very much so. Manufacturers are our very close customers and partners.
So do you have, just actually a quick one, with that, do you ever have any sort of, not conflicts, but where you might be reviewing a car and your review might be, there's some issues with it, but yet, you're trying to balance that out with, wanting to get the manufacturers on side. How do you sort of, and I know you're saying you're independent, you're totally independent, but have you had any sort of issues where you've sort of got to try and balance your review with the car manufacturer's wishes, or do you just sort of do you just put it out there and so be it?
Look, I think that's a really good question, and I think what I'd invite you to do is come and have a read of the content and make your own judgment. Yep. I think we're very, very objective. Now, remember, it's in the manufacturer's interests that the consumers are engaging with our content, and that consumers feel that the content is genuine. I think readers of online content or any content these days are very savvy, and they smell that kind of stuff very quickly. So I think we wouldn't get the traffic we did if we engaged in that kind of behavior. And it's obviously in the interest of the manufacturers that we don't. So no, I think a read of our content would always demonstrate that we're quite objective about the cars that we review. We are admittedly often writing for an enthusiast audience as much as we're writing for the in-market car buyer, and so our enthusiasm for the product will come through in that content, but we're always objective about the pluses and minuses of the vehicles.
All right, good stuff. Let's go to Stephanie. Any questions, Stephanie?
Quickly, you mentioned that you'd started using Periscope for some content, and certainly in my work I'm sort of seeing more clients moving toward this short but engaging video as part of their content strategy. Is that something that you guys are trying to do more of?
Definitely. Video is a huge one. Video is now a very, very much a first-class citizen in our universe, much more than just an accompaniment to print. In fact, often our content strategy around a particular car will be video first. We recently ran a a video of a drag race between a Tesla Model S and a V8 supercar, which is it's a really entertaining watch. You should have a look at it. And it drew over a million views on YouTube in its first week, so it was a really big one for us. And so we're very much video first going forward. Not just things like Periscope, but also some really professionally shot pieces around the cars. So it's going to get bigger and bigger for us. As we go forward this year, definitely.
Good one.
All right, let's go to Sonia. Any questions, Sonia?
I do. I have a quick question. You mentioned cloud computing before. Can you tell us a little bit, without giving us all the secrets, about what cloud infrastructure or technology and applications you use in your business, especially when you do have a distributed team?
Sure. So we're a pure online business, and we live and breathe the web. Pretty much all of our tooling is online. In fact, funny story, this week I was doing some changes to the cabling in the Melbourne office and I accidentally unplugged the printer. It was about 2 days before anybody even noticed. So that's a pretty good sign, I think. But yeah, cloud's a big one for us. You described before the extremes of yay and nay in cloud computing. We're very much one of the all in. We run with Amazon Web Services and use their feature set extensively, even into some of the more bleeding edge tools and techniques that they offer. So, and we're very much believers in the utility computing model. So, optimizing cost structures by buying the compute time you need when you need it, and that's very much the cloud philosophy, and using some of their some of the more bleeding edge services that they're offering to really abstract yourself away from having to think about individual computers at all, which is really the way it's going now, with some of their new products like Lambda, which allow you to just run anonymous functions in the cloud without even having to think about provisioning the servers behind them. It's really exciting stuff. So, but apart from that, which is our hosting platform, we're big into tools like Slack, Trello. What else? We run New Relic, PagerDuty for monitoring and alerting. Others aren't coming to mind at the moment, but Whipstar is a online video workflow tool that we've just adopted. There's a bunch of them, but we're an online model, we're very much engaged with the software as a service space, both a customer and a supplier, I guess.
Fantastic, thanks.
All right, good question, Sonia. So Cam, you're a big vinyl collection person.
Yeah. I was a DJ in a past life, so I did spend way too much money on vinyl over the years. And now every time I move house, I rue the day because I have to ship boxes and boxes of records, and damn, they're heavy.
Do you still? How often do you play records?
I still chuck them on at home all the time. I love the sound of vinyl, and just won't die, will it? And I've read lately that the comeback is still gathering pace. Now that we've dived heavily into the disposable music era, I think when people experience the really tactile, warm nature of a piece of vinyl, it really resonates, and that's something that I've always been very fond of. It really heartens me to think that people still dig that. It's a great
thing. I hear a lot of people I listen to a station here in Melbourne called PBS FM.
I know PBS.
They use a lot of vinyl in their shows. Which is quite interesting.
To sort of segue to cars, it sort of reminds me that although, most people buy the latest car out there, there are still a lot of enthusiasts who are driving around in everything from vintage to veteran cars, and sort of the vinyl reminds me, it may never come back to the days that it was, but there's going to be now quite a large minority of people who are going to continue to use vinyl, even if they even if they still have the latest digital recording devices and services. So it sort of reminds me of the car, where I've got friends that own the latest, say, latest Commodore, and yet in the garage they've got a vintage Model T Ford they tinkle with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, people love collecting, don't they?
Yep.
And the thing is, as much as I love digital, and I love the fact that I can find, the minute I've heard something, I can find it and get it, 10 minutes later, you can't collect digital music. It's not a collectible thing. And people do love to hold it and own it and collect it, so it's a great thing. And the truth is that vinyl does sound different, whether or not you think it's better or worse. It's different.
What sort of setup do you have at home, Cam, for playing that sort of vinyl?
So I've got Technics SL1200s, which are sort of an industry standard DJ turntable that was first designed, I think, in the very early 1980s by Matsushita in Japan. Really, really rugged things. They're really classic pieces of industrial design, actually. Big cast, anodized cast aluminium block. They're beautiful turntables. So I just run that through a mixer and then through some monitors that I have sitting on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good stuff, mate. Are you a Spotify user or do you stream music much?
Yeah, Spotify for me. Yeah, I find the catalogue a little bit limited, to be honest, especially some of the older stuff tends to be a little bit hard to find. But I'm a Spotify user, and actually more so now SoundCloud is probably my first stop pretty much every day.
Yeah, SoundCloud's great, yeah.
Love SoundCloud. It's
brilliant. I agree. What about you, Stephanie? What do you use at home, Spotify or?
Yeah, mostly Spotify. Occasionally I'll, you know, look for things on YouTube and SoundCloud as well, but definitely mostly Spotify.
Okay, cool. All right, what about you, Sonia? Are you a music streaming person?
I am platform agnostic, so depending on my mood, I tend to switch between Spotify or Pandora or Mix Radio, and I've even been known to throw on like the SBS Chill apps and Coffee digital radio as well. So it really depends what mood I'm in.
Oh, good stuff. Okay, what about you, Steve?
Oh, occasionally I stream music, not as much as I used to, but actually I did buy a record. I think it's from 1966, Goldfinger. No, maybe it's 63. I can't remember. But I found that record. Even though I don't have a record player, I just wanted to get it. But
good stuff, mate. Let's go to Jacob. What about you, Jacob?
Spotify 24/7.
Yeah, I know that. That's a dumb question.
I'm also live on Facebook.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Anyone watching?
I had like 3 people.
Okay, cool. Good stuff. What about you? What's that?
You were one of them.
Yeah. Darryl, what about you? Are you a vinyl person or streaming?
I'm sort of streaming and I'm a bit of a mixed bag. I've sort of got an old CD collection from, you know, I'm old enough to remember CDs, so I've got an old CD collection. I've got some old vinyl that I got, you know, pre-CD, so that's really showing my age now. But I enjoy streaming for the sense that where if you're somewhere and you think, oh, I'd just like to listen to some music, you can do it. But I also agree that, you know, having that tactile, even if it's a CD, having that thing and saying, well, that's my CD, that's my music, and I can play it when I want, I can take it where I want, I can give it to someone and say, here, you know, take this, it's yours, you can use it, is still pretty compelling. And for vinyl, it's interested me how people are swinging back to vinyl, you know, particularly when, you know, digital come along and it was like vinyl was going to be swept away and just be one of those technologies that disappears. It's interesting and it's good. I think it's good that vinyl isn't disappearing and there is an enthusiastic bunch of people out there.
And you also... And you're also supporting the artist too, the band as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it gives, you know, the indie musicians still an opportunity to press out some vinyl.
Definitely. Okay, Cam, where can I get hold of you if they want to ask any more questions, mate?
Sure. So I should just do the quick plug. We're hiring. We're looking for talented software engineers with experience in online and probably online publishing. So if that's you or you know someone, cam.smith@caradvice.com.au, or you can just come to the website and go for the contact us, and that'll reach me that way as well.
Good stuff. Are you on Twitter at all, mate?
Yes, Smith Cam.
Smith Cam, okay, good stuff. All right, follow him on Twitter. And also Car Advice, they're on Twitter as well, I take it.
Car Advice are on Twitter, Facebook, we're everywhere.
Good stuff, mate. Good to have you on. Appreciate your time.
No worries, thank you.
Come back on any time if you want to.
Love to, Brad. Cheers,
mate. Thanks, mate. We've got Stephanie on. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hello.
You're a big TV fan and movie person.
I am, yeah. So I sort of have my professional background's in entertainment publicity.
Yep.
These days I'm actually in PR and social media for tech startups. So I did sort of take a step away from entertainment a couple of years ago, but it's very much still my, you know, number one interest personally, and I do write a big blog about that.
Okay, good stuff. And where can they find that at?
That's alifeofpopulence.com. So it sort of talks about this idea that especially these days, we're so inundated with the amount of entertainment that we have to choose from. Sometimes it's hard to find the good stuff. So that's sort of what I try to do.
Good stuff. Where do you get your, what's your favorite platform for entertainment? Where do you get your
I'm predominantly through Netflix at the moment, although it's been a little bit limited by those changes to the geo-blocking yep. side of things. But I'm a Foxtel subscriber as well. I use that less and less these days. And occasionally, if there's something I really want, I'll go through iTunes.
So you're not using Foxtel anymore?
Yeah, look, I kind of find that their content offering isn't as good as something that a Netflix or even Stan can come up with. And streaming just works for me. I do have the ability to record on Foxtel, but I don't do it a lot. I tend to rely on it for probably sport more than anything, and things like awards ceremonies that, you know, you're not going to find on a streaming service.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Good point. What startups have you been working with? Do you know a startup called Zafo at all?
No, not familiar with it.
Okay, Jacob, do you want to explain what Zafo is?
It's been so long, I forgot about it.
Well, Zafo was a startup from last year. They put out an app called, what was the app called, Jacob?
Rewind.
And what was the other one, the streaming one?
I didn't know about the streaming one.
Well, I think that streaming one's the original.
What was that called, Steve? What was that called? You don't remember? I can't remember that name.
Me either. I thought it was just Zafo.
Zafo. Yeah, but you work with a lot of startups, right, Stephanie?
Yeah, so I'm part of a PR agency that works with Australian and US and European based startups from sort of early stage to those that are currently working toward or have gone to IPO. So we sort of do a range of things from, standard sort of consumer PR, getting your name and your product out there, to corporate comms, preparing for an IPO. So
nice one. Okay, I'll have to send Andrew your way then, because he's maybe working on things or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a chat with me. So I'm definitely more on the consumer side of things, just with my background and also social media. So I sort of split my time about 50-50 between those across different clients. So, yeah, I definitely have an interest in the kind of content that's being created online.
Nice one. What's your favourite social media, Twitter or Facebook? Or
Instagram.
Instagram, yeah, Instagram, yep.
Yeah, I'm a big Instagram fan. I guess I'm a very visual person, so it works for me.
Yeah, definitely. Cool.
And I think so certainly some of the brands I work with, it is sort of ideal for them.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. Jacob, any questions for Stephanie?
What kind of entertainment do you work with?
I actually used to. For about 3.5 years, I looked after the publicity for the WWE for Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, nice.
So it was kind of an interesting 3 years of the world of professional wrestling.
Let's get ready to rumble.
So it was a great experience. I've worked on Walt Disney Australia as well, a little bit of music stuff and some video game stuff as well.
What any famous people you worked with, Stephanie? Or?
Mostly like a lot of guys in WWE, but okay. A handful of others here and there.
Oh, nice one. Okay. Any questions, Steve?
Yeah, you also mentioned film and television. What are some of your favorite TV/movies?
Probably my favorite TV series of all time. Look, this changes like every month, but I was going to say Mad Men, probably my favorite.
Currently? Okay.
Yeah. I like a lot of old sort of classic British stuff like Blackadder, and that's sort of my sense of humour. But then, in the last few years, I've really enjoyed season one of True Detective rather than season two. I think most people probably have that feeling. I just finished Jessica Jones on Netflix and I loved that. I like a lot of the stuff that Marvel's producing at the moment. In terms of favorite movies, I've got a pretty eclectic taste. Like Some Like It Hot is probably my favorite movie. It's 1959, so it's an old one.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Seen that.
Fantastic movie. Great American comedy. And then, something like Ferris Bueller's Day Off is always up there.
Movie.
Big Stanley Kubrick fan, A Clockwork Orange. Actually, I have a Clockwork Orange tattoo, so I'm really into that one.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'd say I have a pretty, varied... if I just like it, I like it. I try not to pigeonhole myself.
What about Australian movies? Have you got any favorite Australian movies?
Favorite Australian movies? I think Baz Luhrmann's probably my favorite Australian director. Moulin Rouge, it's a little bit cheesy, and I think people either really like Baz or you don't like Baz, and I'm definitely in the camp of people who like that sort of real over the top, and his movies have got a certain look to them that really appeals to me.
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
Australian series, though, I would say Rake with Richard Roxburgh is probably my favorite.
I love that. Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yep. Richard Roxburgh is just a great actor all around.
He's fantastic. I was so pleased to hear that they're doing a fourth series of that. So certainly they ended it like it could very well have been the end at season three. So it's good to know that Cleaver Green will be back.
Do you watch much Neighbours or Home and Away, Stephanie?
I used to watch Home and Away back in the day when I was in high school, but not for many years. I think it has its place. Like,
what about Neighbours?
No, I was never into Neighbours. It was just definitely just on the Home and Away side. But it's good to. I think it's still a great platform to launch a lot of Australian talent, like Hemsworths and Ryan Quanten and those guys that have managed to go over and get big Hollywood jobs. It's still a good platform for that, and it's got its audience.
Yeah, definitely. Sonia, any questions for Stephanie?
Yeah, Steph, you mentioned the startups that you work with. What's your opinion of the Australian startup scene at the moment? So are we seeing a lot of new startups? Are they being successful? What's sort of the feel of the startup economy in Australia?
Yeah, look, we spend quite a lot of time sort of telling founder stories. So we do hear a lot about, you know, what it's like being in the trenches. And I think certainly with the change in PM lately, there's been a lot more optimism around the future of startups. I think people still feel like the access to venture capital in Australia is what it is. And a lot of people still have their sights set on getting overseas, mostly to Silicon Valley. But also, like, there's a lot of people advising people to try and move into Southeast Asia, into Singapore and beyond. So I think people are optimistic. Like, we've seen some good success stories, people like Atlassian, you know, that was a huge IPO. And I think that bodes well sort of for the future. It shows that it's possible.
Fantastic. That's great.
All right, let's go to Cam. Any questions?
Yeah, I think similar to Sonia. I mean, the scene in the Valley is so intense, isn't it? And it dominates the press so much. It must be challenging for you to try and get local voices out through that noise.
Definitely. We're fortunate to work with a few people who are Silicon Valley based, so that's a little bit easier.
So you tap back into it at that end.
Yeah. So it's nice to be able to look at it from both sides. But, you know, I think the thing that is in the startup community, people do really want to see themselves over there, but they don't perhaps consider the expense of being involved in Silicon Valley. And it might not necessarily be the best next step for people. Southeast Asia is a lot more affordable and there's a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah.
That's an interesting shift. I had the pleasure to be in Silicon Valley with Tech Field Day last November, and the couple of things I came away with was every second person you meet is a startup, and when you say that you are ex eBay or ex Google or ex Facebook, nobody's impressed because everybody is. Absolutely. So it certainly feels like a lot more of a saturated competitive scene for startups. It's really interesting to see that there is an alternative in that Southeast Asia market.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, people like Rocket Internet have done a pretty good job of getting themselves into that market. So, and they're a good example of what can be achieved without necessarily having to go through the valley.
Yeah, wow.
All right. Daryl, question real quick, mate, because we need to wrap up.
Yeah, if someone's got it, like, listening and they've got a good idea, like a really good idea, and they've been considering starting a startup, if there's such a phrase, what would be your advice on how to sort of get started, particularly as an Australian startup?
Yeah, it's interesting. I read an article on Tech in Asia yesterday that was about, it was titled The Dangers of Entrepreneur Porn. And it was about these founder stories of people who just, you know, quit their job and pour everything into their startup. And it's a real rags to riches story. And what it did point out quite validly is that's really the exception to the rule, and that most startups fail. That's just a fact. You know, I think it's about getting the right sort of financial advice in the beginning. Don't ruin yourself over it, and get a good network behind you. Get connected with the right sort of people who might be investors in the future, and then of course get some good PR.
All right, good stuff, Stephanie. Any more questions, Steve, or anyone else? That it? That's it. Okay, Stephanie, where can they get hold of you if they want to ask you more questions?
You can find me on Twitter at TheSBatman and also at my blog at www.alifeofpopulence.com.
Good stuff. Good to have you on. Thanks. Appreciate your time, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let's go to Dal. What's your final view on the show, mate?
Great show, and we've had some really great guests today who have sort of got my head thinking about lots of issues on tech. And so you can catch me at Twitter at Learnscape. As I always say, you can catch me as the only person left on Google Plus, Daryl Hunt. So just, and I still haunt Google Plus, so I'll switch off the light next week probably.
Really?
No, only joking.
Hmm. All right, you can be on Twitter at Brad Oz and at Tech Webcast. Jacob, what about you, mate?
You can follow me at Jazzbot326691Z.
Give a shout out to Andrew, by the way. Give a shout out to Andrew.
Well, we got Andrew Cunningham from the Rewind app. And
what else?
Please download it.
Yeah, download it. It's a good app. It's a fun app. Let's go to Cam. What about you, mate? Enjoy the show, mate.
Absolutely, it was really good. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate no problem, mate.
Yeah.
Where can I get hold of you?
So I'm on Twitter at Smith Cam. That's probably the best place.
Smith Cam, is that one word?
Smith, as in Smith, yep. And Cam, one word.
Cool, mate. Well, let's go to Steve. What about you, Steve?
You can find me on Twitter as chatterbox_live.
Okay, and Sonia, what about you?
Yep, Twitter at cuff_s. Blog is offthescuff.com.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for being on, Sonia. Appreciate your time.
Hey, my pleasure.
And Jake, what about you?
You already got me.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yes.
All right, have I asked? Daryl, what about you?
You've got us all, I think.
Good stuff. Good to have you on, everyone. See you next week. Thank you to Stephanie and Cam and Sonia for being on. And Daryl, I almost forgot the Apple TV giveaway.
Oh, yes. Remember that you – I was going to say remember the 5th of November, but remember the 6th of February because we still are waiting for some more, if you want, to send in photographs for our Apple TV 4th generation contest. You have 1 week. I think 1 week left.
Yes,
next week. So make it count because I think they retail for around $240, Brad.
No, more than that, mate.
More than that. Oh, well, there you go. I mean, I was even undercutting it. So if you want an Apple TV 4th generation, you want a chance, send your photographs in now. Tweet them in to @TechWebcast using the hashtag, Win Apple TV.
That's it.
Or through our Facebook page at facebook.com/techwebcast. And on the 6th, we will be announcing a very lucky winner.
And just take a photo of
yourself listening to Tech Webcast, or a family member, or your dog, or your cat, or whatever. But it's something and print it up, because you might win, and if you don't, you'll be a sad panda if you don't.
who's gonna pick the winner?
We'll decide who's going to pick the winner. Right. Yeah, we'll make just a quick
question to Stephanie. What Apple products do you own, just by the way, just before we go?
I own a late 2011 MacBook Pro, a 2015 MacBook Pro, an iPad 3 and an iPhone 6 Plus.
Oh, nice one.
And an iPod Classic somewhere.
Okay, oh, and an Apple TV?
And an Apple TV, yep.
Oh, cool. Okay, good stuff. Do you use that much?
Yeah, I use Apple TV every day. That's good that I forgot about it.
I love Apple TV. It works fantastic. Okay. Jacob, thanks for being on, mate.
You're welcome.
And you lost the game.
Suck. You stink. Sorry. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Because technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer!